Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Football on off the ball.
And if we do that, I believe this team will go down as one of the greatest teams.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome back. Friday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast. Keith Friday, me, Shane Hannon, and Barry Murphy to join us ahead of the bumper weekend, the final weekend of the League of Ireland season. But let's get the important stuff to the front, really. What's happened to goalkeepers Tracky Bottoms? Gabriel Corrali, we were exchanging pleasantries last night about the boy. They're gone. Was Peter Schmeichel used to wear them?
Yeah, Schmeichel wore them. Taibbi wore them.
Massimo, hello.
The grey tracksuit bottoms were a bit different though, weren't they? Like, they wanted to stand out there. Yeah. They must have been so heavy back in those pitches as well. Like, I think it was a Palace you played for.
Yes, yeah.
Muddy pitches. Yeah. Imagine the weight of those, like
hold the water. As
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
cotton
yeah. Even the goalkeeping jerseys as well were that cotton as well. He must have been weighing a ton. But yeah, the kind of modern version of that now is the Allison, isn't it? Kind of
it looks
Keller.
Slick. Yeah, as the tracks reminds. I remember playing a game for Everton and Cork, the team in Cork, and we had no keeper, so someone's dad went in goal. But he wore like a tracksuit bottom and a hoodie, and he was texting during the game. And this is like a high level enough game. Like,
I was just looking up Gabriel Corrali there, 108 caps for Hungary, and once asked about his great tracksuit bottoms, he said, "I will never take off my sweatpants."
Are they the same pair?
Same pair every time. Yeah,
Going to bed and all.
Were you ever aware of?
When I was a kid, I would have worn. Yeah. And you had like the strap you put under your boot as well to keep them nice and tight on you. But no, you had to grow up a bit, didn't you?
Yeah.
I know. Schmeichel loved them. Like,
yeah, every so often. I don't think he ever played well when he wore them, though. Mm. That was my memory of him.
He said he was cold playing for United. He didn't have a lot to do.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Best dancer you wanted to bring up?
Oh, best dancer, yeah. I have a couple of good dancers in the dressing room. I have to write all these things down. Kieran Trippier was a very good dancer. I spoke about the lap dance he had to give me before. So Trips had a few moves. I've been on a few nights out with Trips as well over the years. Sam Vokes was one that when he first came to the club, his initiation was he had to dance for a minute while we were all in a dance circle around him. Danny Ings had a little bit about him on the dance floor. Aidan McGeady had all the ankles going everywhere. It was like he was doing step-overs while he was standing on the dance floor. Benny McCarthy. Benny was like he wasn't really a shape thrower. He just had a little bit of rhythm to him. Like, you'd look and go, "My God, lovely rhythm, Benny." Is all that was at a Pussycat Doll concert, though. I seen Benny dropping a few shapes.
They were huge.
At their peak. And Ross Wallace, I have to say, Ross.
You love Ross Wallace.
Ross has a little bit about him on the dance floor. Very similar to Aidan McGeady, two Scottish boys. But yeah, all ankles and legs flying everywhere when they're on the dance floor. But
would you be watching these lads in the sideline dance, nodding your head in approval?
I'd be right in the mixer, wouldn't I?
Yeah,
right in the mixer.
How are your own skills?
Yeah, I can't rate myself, but my wife says I'm all shoulders. She says you're nothing, like you're from the waist down, there's nothing moving, it's just shoulders, that's all I have.
You wouldn't be jivers, you're two dubs, so obviously there's no jiving that goes on, no country
dance. Footloose. If you go hard for one song and people think you're alright and then you go back into the background.
It's like the
initiation song. I believe in a thing called Love Is My Song. Just whack it out there and let people leave you alone then.
And you sing
The Darkness?
No, not a note in my head, like, but if people ask you to sing and you actually go hell for leather with it, people kind of leave you alone then. It's the lads that are reading off a phone.
Here, listen, even if you're wrong, as long as you're confident, you get away with a lot of things.
Yeah.
I can picture all of you dance. I can see it. I could see you'd all have something different going on.
Yeah,
I could picture that very well, and I am. All right, League of Ireland Premier Division. It is upon us, the final day. So everyone kicks off at 4:30 tomorrow. We got Drogheda Bulls, Shells Pats, which is huge, Cork City, Derry City, Shamrock Rovers, Sligo Rovers, which should be a procession, and Waterford against Galway. Barry, there's kind of something happening for everyone here except the top and the bottom. So we have our champions, we have our relegated sides, but to put a bit of context on this, three teams are level on points in fourth, from fourth to sixth, and then another three teams are level on points from seventh.
Mm.
Both Derry and Shells have booked their spot in the Conference League, but they can improve on that. And Derry will get second place if they win, or by matching Shells' result against Pats. Pats will finish fourth with a win, or if the two matches end in a draw. And Drogheda or Bulls will finish fourth if they win and Pats fail to do so. There's a lot on the line here.
Really is. The interesting one is probably what way Galway and Waterford approach it. Mm. We were doing commentary during the night for the Rovers game. We spoke about the disgrace of Gijon in 82, the West Germany and Austria game. They both needed a certain result to go through and nobody wanted to attack. And it was kind of like that in the first 20 minutes for Rovers and Galway the other night. And it's going to be exemplified, on Saturday when Waterford go down to Galway. If Rovers do their business against Sligo up in Tallaght, which isn't a given either. The way Rovers didn't really celebrate after the game during the night. I know there was celebrations in the dressing room and all, a lot of sponsorship stuff going around, but nobody was on the sauce after it. They were kind of looking ahead to that game, to the AEK game and the FAI Cup final. So it's not going to be a walkover either in terms of Shamrock Rovers going out. There's lads playing for positions there, but just that game in Waterford, I don't know what way he approached that. You try and get a point and hope Rovers do the business or go for the win and potentially lose.
Waterford have the worst home record in the league.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Galway were so rigid the other night against Rovers. It was kind of
didn't really create a chance, Barry, did
no,
they?
No, it was kind of a 4-1-4-1 and just hoping to get a point. I think, and it was working well until Dylan Watts' free kick. But I think they'll approach it a similar way down in Waterford. Goal difference is a massive difference there between the two sides. So Waterford really need to go and win there. So I can see a similar approach from Galway. And then the other games, it's kind of a toss of the coin in those games.
Yeah, because Drogheda and Balls, I think Drogheda have a really good record against Balls this season.
They're unbeaten against them.
3-3. Balls have lost 14 games this season. But at the same time, a bit like the way we talk about Patsbury, which was sort of an own throughout the year. It's like, but Balls were often fairly complimentary about them. But they're an extremely flawed side themselves.
Yeah, you just look at that. They're 2-0 up the other night and you're thinking they're cruising here. Just even
and another disallowed goal as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, like the way they imploded there, what way is that? And the reaction of the crowd. You're going up to Drogheda where the crowd are right on top of you now. If that doesn't go well in the first 20 minutes, they're going to be right in your ear as well. And obviously results coming in from elsewhere. But Drogheda up there are really good, really tight, create a lot of chances from set pieces. And we look at the other night, the way they both conceded those goals. I can see Drogheda scoring.
What will Rovers do you think now? Because they have this weekend, which is a celebration. Then they have the FA Cup final. Stephen Braddy's on record said he wants to win the FA Cup, hasn't done that yet, haven't won a double. But then they have the small matter of AEK Athens next week, like next Thursday as well. Yeah. Only 3 days before the Cup final. So what do they do with their team selection for the next... Well, for the next three games, including the cup final, what are they prioritising here?
I think it'll be similar to the other night. Made a lot of changes. Young Max Kovalevskis came in. It's going to the under 17 World Cup. He came in the right. Keane Barrett came in the centre with Mali in the in midfield. I think that's just the way it's going to be. John McGovern came up top, so I think he's going to sacrifice this game and not sacrifice it, but put out a weak inside against Sligo. I think he'll do the same against AEK. The way he played against Sparta, I don't think they're going to win anyway. So I think he's going to potentially give lads minutes in the second half to keep the legs going. But it'll be the same team as Sparta, I think.
That's an interesting shout now, because I would have thought like the money that you get for getting a point against AEK, right? But a Shamrock Rovers weakened side should be more than enough to beat Cork City.
No, it's not the form Rovers are on at the moment. The other night was different because they got over the line, but if they've been on a bad run of form, and it's very hard to turn it on again on the treadmill, like even they're going at full tilt to get back on that. There were signs of life the other night again when it really mattered, but the last four games they've been way off it. So trying to get back onto that to that track going into an FAI Cup final, where Cork have been building nicely. You look at Rory Keaton's back in training.
Yeah,
that's a big boost potentially to be on the bench, could be involved as well. I just think a cup final 50-50 game like that, it's obviously a little bit more in Rovers' favours because of the players they have, but I think it's a lot closer than it was.
What do you think, Keith?
It's difficult. I take your point that the financial rewards if you get a draw in Europe are absolutely massive, but I don't think Stephen Bradley can go down that route and start letting his mind wander. I think he'll play a weakened team against Sligo. I think he'll have somewhat of a go against AEK Athens. I don't think he'll go hell for leather to desperately try and win it. I don't think he'll go for a weakened team because you don't want to take a battering rolling into a final. So I think it'll be, I wouldn't say half-hearted, but it'd be a couple of players and a couple of players you wouldn't expect to see against AEK Athens. But Cork for me is the big one. They're in the final of the FAI Cup. And Stephen Bradley, I was listening to him after the Galway game, said, I still have ambitions in Europe. I think 7 points will get us through to the knockout stages. So he wants to compete on all fronts. And for so often, we've always said Shamrock Rovers squad is so, so good. It's time for them to prove it. They're going to have to chop and change. They're coming to the business end of the season. And I think we'll find find out just how strong that Shamrock Rovers squad is.
Is it about the want when it comes to these last games, like particularly the games I'm looking at, say Sligo, maybe we don't want to get embroiled in that relegation playoff against Shamrock Rovers, and even Pat's going to Shells as well. Like sometimes in the final game, even if you're away from home, the team that wants it or needs it more potentially wins the game.
Yeah, well, the need is greater for Pats to go and get a result. Yeah. Obviously, the thing is there for Shells to go and get second place in that Europa League spot, which is massive. Mm. Like you've got a fallback then if you do get knocked out of that in the early rounds. But for Pats, the money they've spent this year, they've got to go and get Europe. There's massive pressure on them to go and do that. And as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, Pats don't respond well to pressure at the moment. So going up there, and you look at that draw at the Bows game as well. Bows as well were in second place a couple of weeks ago and comfortable. And drop right back out of it. The pressure on them is massive as well. So out of all of them, I think the pressure is probably least on Drogheda to go and do it. And I think there's probably a thing around the league as well where most people would want to see Drogheda go and do it the way they were treated this year in Europe. I think there's probably a feeling that if they did get it, it would be somewhat justified for them to get in. But I think out of all of them, they're the ones with the less pressure going in. They wouldn't say that in camp, of course.
Would this be the only time ever that Shamrock Rovers would be unanimously supported by everyone but Cork City in the cup final? Because if City win that cup final, it's disastrous for the teams below Rovers for Europe.
Yes, there's only one team though, but we'll know what team is going to be looking for them. It's only one spot going into that cup final, so there'll be one team supporting, the rest won't care. I think they'll be on the holidays by then, but yes, it's a mad situation to go into.
Just can I just say on the Pats thing as well, like, so say for example Pats lose to Shelburne and Tolka, and then obviously either Bowes or Drogheda win that game and surpass them into fourth. Like Stephen Kenny, it'd be such a poor season, and all his detractors when he was the Ireland manager will be looking, well, look, he couldn't even get Europe with that Pats team. And I know he's got a contract, I think, until 2029 with Pats, but like that would be a terrible season to finish, say, fifth, even sixth potentially, but more likely fifth if they lose.
Yeah, it would. As you said, he's 1 year into a 5-year contract, but you look at the building blocks. You thought the last 9 games last season were going to see something special this year. Everyone had them, not everyone, but people had them tipped for the league title as well. But to not even have a run at the title was majorly disappointing. Decent result in Europe, but that FAI Cup result was massive, and that's one you would have had on the back burner as well, going, listen, we get to a final here, we've got a chance of Europe, we can get in the back door. But they were just so poor in that game and then carried it into the league as well. Huge result against Rovers to give themselves a chance, but then I think they put all their eggs into one basket against Waterford, kind of sacrificed that Bowes game, decided we're not going to lose it, we'll kind of keep Bowes at arm's length and put it all to that Waterford game, and didn't come up with the result, and that was huge pressure on that, and they didn't come to the fore.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Yeah, I've obviously watched an awful lot of St. Pat's this season, and I come away from 99% of their games really enjoying what I'm seeing from certain players. But you dig into the stats, I mean, Mason has scored, I think, 13 goals this season. He's level with Padraig Ammond for the top goal scorer. He'll want to sign off as the League of Ireland top goal scorer before he goes to Spurs. But the likes of a Keen Levy, I love watching him play. He wriggles out of tackles so well, but in terms of goals and assists, very, very low.
Yeah, the spread beyond Melia is very, very poor.
This is what I'm saying, that there's very few players. And again, I watch Simon Power and I think, I love watching him play. When he runs at people, it really excites me. But in terms of goals and assists, it gets to a certain point where you're 20-21 and the manager looks at you and says, look, you've got to start giving us goals and assists, otherwise you're just running around the pitch with the ball at your feet. And look, I like an awful lot of the players, but they need to start getting goals and assists. And Stephen Kenny's wingers are absolutely massive to how the team play. At the start of the season, they started with El Bouzebi, who's done his shoulder, and Mulroney. Mulroney's been up and down all season. Simon Powers starting to come good towards the end. Keane Levy looks brilliant every game, but doesn't really give you anything in terms of assists so often, and the last pass will let him down. And defensively, I don't think Pats have been anywhere near as solid as they need to be. And away from home, they picked up 19 points from 17 away games, which is not good enough. You know, you need to be better on the road if you want to be challenging for Europe or the title. So I don't know. There's two sides to this. I think Shelbourne will have the shackles off. They'll play with that little bit of freedom, and they could turn up and batter Pats, or they could turn up and be a little bit half-hearted. But I don't see a Joey O'Brien team turning up and being a little bit half-hearted. Mm. So I reluctantly fancy Shelbourne in that one.
Right.
As Barry says, when the chips have been down with Pats lately, they haven't been able to do it. And the chips are going to be down massively, massively down in this one. They're in the driving seat, a win, you know, unless there's a massive goal difference swing in the Drogheda Bowes game, a win gets Pats through. And it's as black and white as that.
Mm. There's something for everyone here in these games. We do a little bit of predictions. Drogheda Bowes?
I think a score draw. I think it's been very tight between them. I think, I can just see Bowes kind of holding on, trying to nick something. I think it'll be all Drogheda. They're very good up there. They know how to play that pitch so well. I think Shells will beat Pats, I think, on the day. I just think they have enough about them, a little bit of experience. I think Shamrock Rovers will beat Sligo Rovers. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of quality still coming into that team. You look at the other night, he made changes after the hour mark. Graham Burke came on, Dylan Watts. He'll give those lads minutes again just to keep ticking over, and that could be the difference in that game. Waterford Galway, it's just so hard to predict. I think that's a draw written all over it down there. I think Derry will do the job down in Cork, and that man Michael Duffy will be looking to try and get up the charts and get himself into that top position as well.
Here's one for you, Baz. Who deserves it? Not who do you think will get it, who do you think deserves it to get fourth place?
I think Drogheda deserve it. I think they're firing above everyone else in terms of the budget they've had. They've stayed right in there in the mix. They've kind of dropped out a couple of times and fought their way back in when you think they might drop off. But just in terms of pure budget, first year going full time, the way they were treated in Europe this year, I just think they're the ones out of everyone that are playing out of their skins, and they're the ones that deserve it for me. Everyone else should have been higher up the league at this stage of the season.
Is it a tough place to, like, you're going to be in commentary with Steve-O I know tomorrow afternoon for that Drogheda Bowes game up in Sullivan and Lamb Park, but like, is it a tough place? What is it about Drogheda? Like, it's a tough place to go. Is it that old cliche, or is it, what is it that makes them so hard to beat?
It's so tight. I remember looking at it, and it's one of the tightest pitches in Ireland. Like, and you go up there, and you've got Big Keely coming forward for throw-ins for corners, for throw-ins, Lamb launching into the box. The goal kicks are landing on the edge of your box. It's just, they're so set up for it. Like, the way Arsenal are set up for set pieces, Drogheda are nearly the same. Conor Keighley doesn't move from that 18-yard box. That's why he's been so successful. He doesn't get dragged out, defends so well, defends crosses, and has lads picking up the seconds in there. Look at their clean sheets, 14 clean sheets for Luke Dennison in goal as well. They just look such a tight unit and know exactly what they're doing. I think they're primed to go and do something. Mm.
And to be fair, what I love about Drogheda is the pressure. They just keep the pressure up. If they have a set piece, they put it into the box. If it gets headed out, it gets put straight back in. And so often when you see somebody have a corner, if it gets headed out, you see the centre-backs running for their own 18-yard box and thinking, I need to go back and defend. Not the Drogheda centre-halves. They stay up until it's completely dead, and so often second balls into the box, you see players now when the ball comes out to the wing, you think, oh, we'll have a couple of passes and then we'll put it back in. They just put it straight back in, and that constant turning of the screw and asking defenders questions is brilliant.
Relight my fire. And off the ball breakfast this morning. We're fine, we're okay. Keith there, and then Grafton's there. You have to pull him back.
How was it gone?
Every man for himself. Keith, says. Yeah. Keith pushed Pat Kenny out of the way on his way out.
Women and children first.
Come on, guys, let's be professional. We can get this back now. Dundalk, that's a mental situation, isn't it?
Yeah, speaking of fires in the building.
Seriously, like. So, Kieran Dundalk, right? So, like, he left that lone town to take this Dundalk job, brings them back up from the First Division. And it's not the easy. Vinnie Perth made his point on the LOI pod this week. It's like, it's not a foregone conclusion that you're definitely coming back up. They've come back up with 10 points to spare, I think. Everyone's kind of been looking away. He's done that amazing job. 19 days after a promotion, he's gone. What is going on?
It hasn't been announced yet, though. That's the only thing. I'm wondering, is he putting that out there to expedite things? Because nothing's come from him. Nothing's come from Dundalk yet, has it?
But so the news came out that had resigned.
Yeah.
And that he's heavily linked to Waterford.
Yeah, I saw a lot.
And there was interest in Waterford in the middle of last week.
It was nothing official yet. I'm just wondering, can that be rectified? I know there's obviously, I listened to John Temple's interview on the local podcast there, and talking about the ownership and how the American investors wanted him out, and funny how they wanted him out, that they hadn't invested at all basically this year, hadn't put any of their money into the club, and it was him that was doing it. But listen, you've got to take that with a pinch of salt, seeing the way it's been run up there. But from Kieran Kildus' point of view, everyone else is looking at getting their players in. They just got promoted to the, well, maybe promoted to the Premier Division. You're looking at getting players in. There's issues over the pitch as well, and the floodlights. So none of that was resolved, and at this stage of the season, you've got to get your licence. I think it's before tomorrow is the deadline to get your licence in. So,
yeah,
massive issues.
And you do the whole John Temple thing. You own 65% of the club. The American investors asking him to relinquish his shirt. Why would he do that?
They're not happy with him. Whatever's
going
on about it.
Why would he give the? Why would he give it back?
Exactly. Why was it? I think his statement was, "Buy me out. If you want me gone, buy me out." And to be fair, he came in and saved the club. And on the last day, no one else stepped up. And for whatever fault he might have, he was the only one that put his hand in his pocket and stepped up to him. And whatever issues they have with him, there is a way of resolving it. Go and buy him out.
I personally think the fire alarm is a good shout, so we added something else. But it does leave us short in time with the team of the season that you have selected for the League of Ireland Premier Division. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, so I've gone with a 4-2-3-1. I've got Luke Dennison in goal, 14 clean sheets, unbelievable consistency.
Jesus, he just saved that shot from Brendan Clark. See that last week? The Galway goalkeeper nearly scored from a free. Yeah,
that would have been the difference then between getting my team or not. But I've gone for Milan and Beng at right back. I've changed this about four or five times.
He's been very good, isn't he? Yeah. Since the move.
Yeah. Danny Grant as well, I could have had in there, a couple of others. Conor Keeley and Roberto Lopez, the centre-halves, and Josh Honahan at left back. I've gone for Matt Healy in the holding with Kerr McEnroy. I've gone Graham Burke, Mason Melia and Michael Duffy on the left, and I've gone Pádraig Amond up top.
Pretty strong.
Yeah, it's, you look at those two, the two top, you've got 13 goals, 4 assists between the two of them. Pádraig has played every game this season and last season as well. Just looks unstoppable.
I sent the team Anthony in advance. You had one question back.
Owen Elding and Harry Wood. And to be fair, I only put Harry Wood in because I knew Baz was flip-flopping between Mason and Wood, so I'll throw it in there just to annoy him.
I took way too long to do this yesterday. I took it way too seriously. You changed about 4 or 5 times. Even on the way in, you see the scribbles out on my team here. You could have had either of them in. I love Owen Elding, but just for me, Mason Melia has stepped up and grabbed Pats by the scruff of the neck and scored 13 goals, 4 assists for 17 going into an 18-year-old. Just incredible for me.
Any other shouts?
No, I think Harry Wood is one that you'd like to try and get him in there, but I totally understand Baz's team. It is a good, strong team. Owen Elding has been one for Sligo when they've been flirting with that relegation playoff place. You're thinking they need a goal scorer, and Elding has been that goal scorer. So again, Elding has merits to be in there, but the players in and around him, it's a pretty talented field.
We have a fairly Shells diehard fan in the team, Ras Flanagan, who has seen the team as well, and that's pretty much fair enough as well.
Yeah.
Who's your player of the season?
Michael Duffy for me. I think he's dragged.
He's so consistent, isn't he?
He's dragged Derry from nothing to European spots. They were really poor during the season, and you look at what he's done: 11 goals, 13 assists. He's been absolutely phenomenal for the last couple of seasons. Kind of got injury free this season as well, and the team that was really struggling for goals, he's the man that stepped up. And same kind of for Kieran McEnroy at Shells as well. You look at the three major goals he scored were Pats, Bowes and Rovers, scored the winner in all three of those games, so that's why he makes the team for me.
That's who you've just written down, is it?
Yeah. I've really enjoyed watching Kerr this season. I didn't know an awful lot about him when he came to Shelbourne. I knew Damien Duff fancied him from his time at Celtic, but so often I've looked at centre midfielders in particular and think they're a dying breed. You're either an attacking midfielder or a defensive midfielder, but Kerr is somebody that will do a bit of both, comes up with big goals, will often put his foot in, reads the game really, really well. I think Kerr McEnroy is one I've really enjoyed watching this season.
You're left-handed, and right now you're right-handed and left-footed.
Yeah, but I play certain sports with my left hand. I play snooker and golf with my left hand, but I write with my right hand. Yeah, I think it's just whichever way I picked up the snooker cue or the hole or whatever. It's whichever way it feels comfortable. I'm cack-handed in golf. I keep getting told if you want to get to a certain point or get better keys, you need to sort out your grip. But feels comfortable holding a golf club like that. So I'm only doing it for the social side, I'm out there to beat people.
Well, there's a label for it. A right-handed, left-footed person is said to have cross dominance or mixed dominance. This is a common condition where a person uses different sides of their body for different tasks. Yeah. You can do it all, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Just as a child, isn't it? Whichever way you pick up the pencil or whatever you're using at times.
What hand do you hold the phone with?
Whichever one's free.
Oh, that's great. It's great flexibility that you have there. Inside. It's unbelievable.
Is that am I fairly weird with that?
Yeah, we're calling you a freak, yeah.
I don't think I could text with left hand. No.
No, not as comfortable.
No, I can't do it, yeah.
No.
But you can.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
He saw me throw a ball with my bad hand. Jesus, no. Shocking. You know, trying to throw a stone, say, with your bad hand, you just can't do it.
With no problem for you.
But Keith can do it.
I
can throw a ball now. That's well, goalkeeper. Not see, yeah, that's the only thing. Yeah.
We have some comments. People are all over the Bruno Fernandes legend question mark at Manchester United. We were talking about this, Barry. Is he a legend? He just made a 300th appearance for the club. Did a big interview, and then we were talking about it. Carr says, not a legend. Has done nothing legendary. Excellent, yes. Not a legend. Dermot Keenan, the great Dermot Keenan on YouTube, is all on your side. Keith bringing reality to the lads. Bruno Fernandes' statement. Morgan Gibbs-White would be picked by more people than Bruno, says a Liverpool supporter, Dermot Keenan. Mm-hmm. In 30 years, will people still be talking about Bruno Fernandes, asks Fergus on YouTube.
At Manchester United, they will be. I'm saying he's a Manchester United legend. I'm not saying he's a world football legend.
I'm not sure who Fergus supports. Might be Liverpool. But it's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, but when you look at like Roy Keane and Robson and some of the proper United legends, Cantona, I don't think he's there.
The Robson example is interesting because he signed in 1981 and he left in 1994. So for the majority of his time at the club, they weren't winning anything either. But he's down as a certified legend.
Yeah, but Robson is one that seemed like a standard setter. When you listen to Roy Keane talking about him, it was all about standards. I think when you talk about Bruno Fernandes, you talk about his ability rather than setting standards for people.
Robson didn't annoy anyone. I think annoying people, which are gesticulating, it's a huge low point.
I think it's lazy as well. But is he not a standard setter when it comes to his leadership in other ways? Not necessarily the gesticulating is one thing, but you know, he is, as we said earlier, he's kind of a statesman off the pitch in some of the things that he says. Like, obviously, his availability every week for 90 minutes, always available for whatever the game, whatever the competition, puts in a shift, like work ethic. It's never been called into question. So maybe in other ways, you know, we're missing some positive.
But I think we're pointing out the absolute bare minimum for players here, saying, well, he plays a lot of games and he's fairly fit and runs around. Oh, well, yeah, he's a legend. He's an absolute legend. I think the bar is really low. Don't get me wrong. I love Bruno Fernandes. I think he's a great player. Mm. I just don't think he's as good as, in particular, Manchester United players think. And when you look at the best midfields in and around Europe, I don't think he's anywhere near, to be honest.
No, I'd agree. I think being a captain gives you a certain level of gravitas anyway and puts you onto a different level, but he's just not going into those Roy Keane levels, the legendary status, and it is thrown around too often, that thing. He's a phenomenal footballer at Man United and in the Premier League, but he's just not at that level yet for me.
We got a goal. Who's your goalkeeping hero? Who was growing up?
Fabian Barthez.
Really?
To see us. Yeah. I thought I was going to get to play against him in that Madrid game as well, but they won the World Cup that year. But
Barthez ever wear bottoms?
No, he wore the really short shorts, remember? And the short
sleeve. He went the opposite way, did he?
Yeah, but they were my two favourites, yeah. Che Gibbon growing up as well.
I had the Raymond van der Hau jersey, do you know, the yellow fuzzy jersey with van der Hau.
That was a heavy one now. To go
very
with those grey van
der Hau. Yeah, I was sweating under it. Sure was. Yeah. A great way to end it. Barry, thanks for everything throughout the season, the League of Ireland coverage. I'm sure we'll be speaking to you in no time, no doubt. Off the Ball Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Keith, have a great Friday.